Well, you came to the right place. Well, there is. There is with Jesus. So he said he needed a miracle. You come for prayer after. God is doing miracles, Albert. He is doing miracles. He's doing miracles. We're going to stand on the promises of God. And this morning I want to read a little bit of the story of the resurrection of Jesus, because this is why this day is such a special day. And it's an interesting thing that Jesus appeared to so many different people. You know, he didn't just call one meeting. You know, I think I might have done that. So, you know, I'm going to just get this all over with. We'll have one meeting. We'll meet on the hill. We'll have a picnic. I'm going to show myself to 20 of you, and then it'll be good, right? That's not what happens in the Bible. In the Bible, we find that Jesus appears to lots of different people, sometimes to individuals, sometimes to the remaining apostles, sometimes to 10 of them. Another time it was to 11 of them, sometimes to the women, right? To Mary and some of the different women. So today we're going to just, I want to read about two times when people are testifying. That's an important word today, testifying. And what Anita just did was testifying. She's talking about the resurrection power of Jesus, about the only one who could have healed her is Jesus. We're going to get to that in a minute. But I want to just have these two stories, just these two accounts, kind of float first for a little while. And the first is a story about two guys who are on the road to Emmaus. We know that one of their names was Cleopas, and then there was another guy who's not named. And these two guys are walking about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they're going along, I'm not going to read the whole story, I'm just going to read the end of it. But as they're walking along, all of a sudden, a stranger, or supposedly a stranger, comes walking along, who is Jesus. And he says, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And they go, "Well, we're mourning because Jesus died. Didn't you know? Like, where have you been?" And anyways, Jesus starts to talk to them. He starts to open the scriptures up to them. He starts to teach them. And then ultimately he asks if he can come into their house because it's getting late. And then he breaks the bread. And we're told that as he breaks the bread, they realize who he is, because they knew who he was from before, but their eyes were blinded. And this is where we're going to start reading at verse 30. Maybe it's on our screen. Luke 24, sorry, I'm getting there. Luke 24, verse 30. "And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks." We're talking about Jesus. "He broke it. He began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." I'm just going to stop for a minute. I know I've made this point before. Some of you have heard me preach on this before. I'm just going to make a quick point that it's at this moment that they realize that Jesus is the Christ when he breaks the bread. And I believe what happened there is he breaks the bread and he passes it out to them, and they see his hands. Right? They see that he had been nailed to the cross. It says in very clearly in Luke, and remember, Luke was a physician, and when Luke writes, he's more precise, he's educated, he is more detailed, and he says this, that when he gave the bread to them, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. All of a sudden, Jesus was gone. Boom, right? And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and when he opened the scriptures to us?" Now get this. "And then they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem." What time of day was it? It was night. It was late. It was supper time. And now they're going to go back. They're not waiting till the next day. You know, one of them's not saying to the other, "Hey, you know what? Let's get up in the morning. We should go back to Jerusalem. We should be telling people about what just happened here." No. Immediately, they don't care about how long the journey is. They don't care that they've been on the road for most of the day. We're told that at once they went to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, this is what the 11 and the others were saying, "It is true. Ha! The Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon." That's what their testimony was. And the two told what had happened on the way for them and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, I don't know if you get excited about anything, but I'm sure you do, but I get excited about this. So while they're talking, you following this? While they're both, the two different groups are sharing their stories of Jesus' sighting. We saw Jesus. There's been a Jesus sighting. He walked with us along the road to Emmaus. And the other group was saying, yeah, and you know what else? He appeared to Peter and then to the other 12. Really, they mean the 11. He was still calling them the 12. And then listen to what happens. While they were talking about them, Jesus stood among them and he said, peace be with you. And I get excited about that. Wow, are you kidding me? Peace be with you. While they are sharing their stories of Jesus' sighting. I saw Jesus. He's alive. He's not dead. While they're sharing these stories of the resurrection, all of a sudden, Jesus stands there and he goes, peace, brothers. Peace on you. And they were startled and frightened, like they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Now he's doing it for them. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. And then it goes on. Isn't that something? It is I, he said, myself. It's me, Jesus. I think that we need to stop here when we read this story. And we need to realize the power of the testimony. The power of what we just experienced when Anita was sharing her story of what Jesus has done. And all those prayers for that many years and all those doctors who said, you know, this is never going to happen. You are beyond the point of ever having a kidney transplant. And now you have a kidney transplant and you are peeing. Praise God. That's good news. Yeah. Pee away. Just pee away. That's good. But that it happens. There's a powerful thing that happens in the testimony of God's people. And that we need to understand this. And that what's happening in the story that I just read for you is really this intersection between two stories of Jesus' sightings, two stories of Jesus being resurrected. And that when they come together and do this, and when they share that good news that Jesus is alive, what happens is Jesus actually appears. And I want to say to you this morning that that's exactly what happens, and it still happens today. Now, we need to learn about this, that the more we share the stories of his resurrection, the more we, disciples, share the truth that my Jesus is alive and that he's rolled the rock away from my life. The more we do that, here's what we got to understand. The more we do that, the more we verbalize it, the more we tell our story, the more we witness to who Jesus is, the more he's going to be there right in front of us and say, guess what? It is I, myself. Here, just touch and see. I'll show you how real I am. Now, there's lots of people who wonder if God's real. Maybe there's some of you today. And I understand that. There's so much out there, you don't know what to believe and what not to believe. But one thing I can tell you about Jesus is that he wants to be known. He wants you to see and to touch and to know just how real he is. And that whatever the issue is, whatever the struggle you're having in your life, he knows about it and he wants to deal with it. He wants to just come right in your presence. And what the word really is teaching us today is that what happened in that day when all of a sudden Jesus appeared, that happens today too. Maybe not exactly in that way. Maybe it does sometimes exactly in that way, but what I want to say today, and what I truly believe, according to God's word, is that Jesus still comes today, and he says, look, it's me. It's I, myself. It's me, and I want you to know that I'm real. I want you to see that I love you and that I care about you, and that there's power in the testimonies that we have that Jesus is alive. And there are many of us, maybe most of us even in this room today, who can tell stories about what Jesus has done in our lives. I can tell a story. I can tell a story about what God has done to restore and to heal and to forgive and to love me. And many of you have a story that's very similar, right? We got to let that story out. We got to let that story out. We have stories about how the stone has been rolled away from our lives so that we could be set free. How many people here have been set free by Jesus? Amen? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you today that as we get that story out, as we tell those stories, we're going to see the real living Jesus more and more among us. I believe that to be true. I believe that's how he operates. It's how he works. I've had people say to me before, you know, I don't like it when people share. In fact, we've even had people who've left our church and said, I don't need to hear all these stories that all the other people, I just want to hear preaching and I want to hear singing and I'd like to just sit quietly. And so there are people who have said, why do we do that? Why do you let people speak? And they have a point, because sometimes when people speak, they say things that are regrettable. They say things that are long-winded. And they say things that we go, oh, I wish they wouldn't have said that. By the way, you didn't do any of that. But we all know that that's true, right? So there is a risk involved when we open this up and say, I want to hear your story. I want to hear what Jesus has done in your life and how he's changed you and how you're no longer dead and that you are alive too. There's a risk when we do that. And I've always believed this, and our leadership here believes this too, that it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth the times that we sit here and we go, oh, I didn't need to hear that. All right, whatever. It doesn't matter, because the other times where we go, wow, that was powerful. That was real. That was the resurrected Jesus in our midst. Make it worth it. It makes it worth it. And sometimes we just got to grow up a little bit. I'm not talking to any of you, of course, but you know, sometimes we just got to grow up a little bit. You know, I'm just going to take this. I'm going to spit this out. This isn't for me today. It's for someone else, but it's for someone else. The point, though, is still the same, that when we allow the power of the resurrected Lord to pour out from us, and we start to tell our stories and start to tell how we've been changed and share with each other what Jesus has done so that I'm not that same man that I used to be. When we do that, something amazing happens. When we intersect our stories, just like we have here in this scripture, what happens is Jesus just stands right there and he goes, look, it's I, myself. You see? Yeah, you see? Let me read another passage for you. Thank you, by the way, for listening so well. It makes me feel like this is interesting. I like that. In 1 Corinthians 15, we get more of the stories of how Jesus appeared to so many different people. I'm just going to read from verse 3. And it says there, and this is Paul writing. He says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them who were still living, some now have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And the last of all, he appeared to me. And I'll just stop there. He goes on and he talks about how he wasn't worthy and that Paul was someone who was persecuting the church. But Paul says, Jesus actually appeared to me physically. He saw Jesus. In this passage, in 1 Corinthians 15, we have a lot of examples of how Jesus appeared to so many different people. It makes you want to think that Jesus wanted to do that. Jesus wanted to appear. He didn't want to just sit with 20 people on the hill. He actually wanted to spend time with his friends and his disciples. And he wanted one thing to be clear, and that was that he is alive. That I'm making it true. I'm proving it. He proved it. 500 people saw that Jesus was alive. All 500 of them would have to be liars and consistent liars all through their lives unless this were true. So these were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And in this passage that I just read, we're told about two people who saw Jesus individually. One of them was Peter, and the other one was James. It says here that that Jesus appeared to Peter and then to the 12. How many, or is there someone here today, you remember that story? Who can tell me that story? That after the resurrection, tell me the story, explain a little bit. You can stand up here in a minute. I want to hear someone explain the story of when Jesus appeared to Peter. Who remembers that story? You guys don't read your Bibles? Okay, well, how about the one of James? Because it says here that Jesus appeared to James and then to the apostles. Do you remember which gospel tells us about that? None of them. So here's something interesting. The interesting thing is that, you know, Paul tells us that in the early church, this was common knowledge. Everyone knew that Jesus appeared to Peter, and then he appeared to the others. And that Jesus appeared to James, and then he appeared to others as well. We're told that he had this meeting, he had a one-on-one special time with two people whom we know were really close to him, because Jesus' three closest friends were Peter, James, and John. We're told that Jesus had a special get-together or a meeting, or that he showed himself to these people, and we know nothing about what happened. You know why? Because it's none of your business. That's why. This is between Peter and Jesus, not between you and Jesus. This was a private time for Jesus and these two disciples. This is when Jesus was going to take Peter. I'd love to know what he said to Peter, or I'd love to know what he would say to James, but it doesn't matter. What happened? I'm sure that Jesus encouraged them. I'm sure Jesus revealed himself to those guys. I'm sure that Jesus helped to prepare them for the ministry that was going to happen. But the point is, you know, Jesus met with two guys. It didn't make it in the Bible. This didn't make it in the Bible because it wasn't for the Bible. It was for those guys individually. Now listen, that's true for you too. That's true for me. It doesn't make it in the Bible, but it doesn't mean that my Savior doesn't appear to me. He doesn't show me who he is. He doesn't say to me, look, it's I, myself, Jesus. He still does that. Right? It doesn't have to be just everything that ended up in the Bible that we say, here's how Jesus shows that he's alive. He's done that in my life. I can assure you that that's true. I have seen the resurrected Lord. I have seen how alive he is. I've seen his power to heal. I've seen him fill a room with the power of his Holy Spirit. I have. And so have many of you. And to understand this, that this is who this risen Christ is that he lives in us just the same way as he did in Peter and in James. And that we can have that relationship, that one-on-one. We need to have that one-on-one with him. And what I'm saying this morning is that happens more and more as we tell our story. I got a story. You have a story. You got a great story. So many people here have great stories about the resurrected Lord, about the tomb, the stone that's been rolled away in each of our lives. I'm set free. Many of you are set free. Some of you from addiction, some of you from anger, some of you from some real hard things that you used to do in your life. Maybe set free from an illness. Right? We testify to that. And as we testify to that, Jesus stands in the midst of us. Jesus stands in the midst of us. Amen? And so this is a hard question, and I have an advantage because I've been thinking about it all week. But I'm going to ask it to you today. I want you to think about it. And I don't want you to jump right away. Just think about it. I know some of you want to answer it right away. The question is, you know, where have you seen the risen Jesus lately? Where have you seen him? Because I firmly believe he's still showing himself just as he always did. It's who he is. He is a God of revelation. He wants to be known. Where have you seen him? I'm going to give you some examples from my life, and then what I want to do is just kind of open this up kind of quickly and talk about the resurrection power. There's some stories here that need to be told. I know that we're not going to be able to tell them all, but I want to tell you that in my life, I see Jesus in lots of different places. Do you ever have it where you really need an answer to something? And you're praying to God, and you say, God, I need to know here. I need to know. Show me, show me, show me. Have you ever had this where you open your Bible, then you go, what? That's amazing. You ever have that? Anyone have that? It's not just me, right? That's one of the ways that you see that he is still alive. That when you pray for an answer and you say, I need to know here, God, and then you open your Bible on that particular day and it blows you away because you go, yeah, that has to be God. That is so amazing. This is clearly the word of God. That's just one example. Music, worship, what we experience today, and sometimes it's even more powerful. I thought it was awesome today. But you know, once in a while, I'm just going to tell my story, but once in a while, I can get so blown away by a song or by music or just hearing something even on the radio or whatever, and I go, oh, that's just God. He's so real, and he speaks through that word or that song or whatever that is. I can't even explain it. Words don't work for this. But I feel that he's alive in me. And he does it. I often think, and I sometimes say, that music is kind of like how the Father makes eye contact with me. And I make it back, and we worship each other. He doesn't worship me. I worship him and praise him, and he blesses me, and he shows me that it's all going to be all right. And he says, just have some peace today, Stan, if you need peace. A few more examples. I've been in a number of rooms in the hospital when someone's dying. I've been there a number of times when the spirit of that person leaves. And I just want to tell you this. There have been times when I've been there and the person is strong in the Lord. And they're seeing something that, you know, someone mentioned it earlier. I don't remember anymore, but seeing the light, seeing that there's amazing peace, and there's a sense of the power of God and a willingness to come home. I don't even know how to describe this either, but I'll tell you this. I have seen the living Christ in death rooms. I've also seen people who are very religious who did not have peace, who were frantic and worried. They went to church, but they didn't have Christ in their hearts. There's a difference. But I want to tell you, I have seen the risen Christ when people have been brought and people have been transitioned into that eternal life. And that's been a powerful thing, a powerful thing. Another one. I see the risen Lord in some of your faces. Let me just say that. I can see the Lord sometimes. I see that he's alive in the smiles that you have, and the joy, and the bubbling, and the excitement, and the praise, and the worship. And I go, there's Jesus. I just saw him. I just saw him. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm just saying this because you need to know that Jesus is not dead. Amen? Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Yeah, thank you. Jesus is alive. And we need to start sharing that story. We need to tell that story. We need, little baby, here's another one before you leave. Look at this. I'm just thinking, this is Dominique, right? Did I say Dominic? Okay, I said it wrong. Look at, Jesus is alive, right? He's alive. Honestly, nobody could do this but God. Hey, buddy, work with me. Work. Don't worry, you'll get him back. He's alive. He's alive. When we see this, we should acknowledge it. And we should just remind each other that he is a risen Savior. You are very blessed. Can I pray for him? God, for Dominic, thank you for him. Thank you that you knit him together even when he was in his mother's womb. Thank you for a healthy birth. Lord, let this child know you and serve you and love you with all of his heart. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go. Okay, so I think I could probably come up with 5 or 6 other examples, but then I'll chew up all the time. Let me just say it one more time, what we're talking about here. And I'm going to ask you to stand up and speak loudly when you have something. You don't need to be long. Just where have you seen that Jesus is alive? Where have you seen, just 1 minute, I'm almost there. I know. Where have you seen that the stone was rolled away in your life? Where have you seen the resurrected power of this King who is not dead, but he's alive? Can you give me that microphone? I don't know where those mics went to, but okay, thanks. Okay, Lynn, you're first, and you're going to talk into my ear so that people can hear you.
I do a daily bread with Gertie about 3 times a week when I work morning shift, and the Lord always has something to say to me through our daily bread. and it's always something positive and something that helps me to to have strength and have faith and to get healed from whatever is ailing or the situation.
Yeah.
So that's how, that's what I do.
He's alive.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, God. Who's got the mic? Go ahead, Amr.
Pastor Stan, everyone, how do you know Jesus is life? When you need something, not just when you open the Bible and you read something, you believe Jesus is life. When you need something and you pray, it's not easy, impossible. Just to pray and he gives to you power. This is the power he is in myself, in yourself, everyone. Jesus inside.
Yeah.
So this is Jesus, his life.
Amen. That's good.
At the women's retreat, we were praising God and we wanted to be in his presence. And we asked, and everybody went quietly to speak to God. And what God revealed to all of us was the most beautiful gift he could have given us. And we know that Jesus is alive, and we give him thanks, glory,
and hallelujah. Amen. Someone, okay, Don?
On Wednesday night, I was on my bed talking to him, and I said, I sure would like to see you. Like to see you. And I looked up at my ceiling, and I saw his face.
Praise God.
And he's here.
Amen.
He's alive. He's
Amen.
Alive.
Jesus sighting. See, that's what we're talking about. Who? Okay, Albert.
My name's Albert. I've known Jesus since I was 3 years old, and it was a double pneumonia in the hospital, and my parents were beside my bed, and I was so sick that my spirit left, and I was with the Lord, but we didn't speak verbally. But mentally, we communicated.
Amen.
And I asked the Lord to let me go back to my parents as you were with your parents, that I would not break your hearts, that I love them, and I don't want to hurt them.
That's good.
But as I came back through, back to my shell, I got better. And over my 57 years after that, I struggled with addictions. And he told me when I was young that it was going to be hard, but he never filled in the question marks of what was going to be hard. So I had to take the journey and figure that out, and the Holy Spirit looked over top of me as I'm, treated with leukemia now. And when I go on my second journey, I'm going to be clean and ready for
Thank
him.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Bless you. That's good. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I just thank the Lord, our two rows of family.
Yeah. He's alive. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Yep.
I see the Lord in.
It's on, yeah.
Okay. I see the Lord in my work every day. His presence is in my office. He's welcome there. He's more welcome than I am. He's there all the time. And people recover in my office. It's astounding to watch people recover from depression and anxiety,
Thank
PTSD.
Jesus.
You know, PTSD and all that is. It's debilitating and it's chronic. He's healed me of PTSD when I was younger. I didn't get automatically healed, but he walked me through the healing, and I'm completely well from
Thank
it.
You, Jesus.
And it's only because of him.
Amen.
He has blessed me in every way, and this is what happens when you have the anointing. You get popular. You get so popular that... Like, people are begging to come and see me, and I have no room for them. And it's because of him. We lay hands on my calendar because she assists me. And it's just astounding. It's like when God's deciding to bless you, I had a vision of a raindrop falling on me from heaven, but it was so big that it flattened me. Mm. That's the power of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So invite him into your work. Invite him in and say, Lord, I'm going to work as unto you. Amen. And watch what happens. It's amazing.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're talking about where we've seen Jesus. Let's keep on, you know, so you know what we're talking about again, right? Where has there been a Jesus sighting? How do you know he's alive? Let's talk about that he is the resurrected Lord.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw Jesus when I was in the hospital when my husband was dying. I actually fasted for a week because I was in shock and I forgot to eat for a week. But that helped. And then also when I was in the psych ward, he was there with me because I listened to the lies. But anyways, he's good and everything is good now. And my husband is healed and he's walking and he's driving and he's back to work.
Good word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's alive. Terry, you're next after Joyce.
Oh,
first Joyce.
No,
Joyce.
Well, I seen Jesus in when I was first sis got saved, not about 3 years ago, and prior to being saved, I was walking down this back alley, and these two Doberman Pinschers were coming right at me, and they're growling. And I said, and I called on Jesus, I said, Jesus, I need you now. I need to see you. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, dog, to shut your mouth and turn around and leave. And those dogs just went, and they turned around and they left. So that was my first experience of seeing Jesus in action.
That's good. Amen.
Terry, I had that same experience, too, with dogs. I've seen Jesus many times, and I got to tell you, in death, my buddy Terry, and many of you know this testimony, my buddy was dying of cancer, and he would not accept Jesus through all the time I sat with him and talked to him about the Lord. And when I was called in, when he was truly in the last hours of his time, he was shaking his fist, and he was talking in a language that I couldn't understand, and just tossing to and fro on his bed. So I phoned my best prayer person, Ricky. And I said to her, you know, we need to pray for Terry. He's having a really hard time. So we did. And I went back to Terry, and I laid my hands on his hands. And I just said, Terry, just remember it's Jesus, okay? Terry, just cry out to Jesus. And I just prayed in the spirit. And, you know, he just calmed right down.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I said, you know, it's Jesus, Terry. Just know it's Jesus, and I didn't even know when he passed away, he was so quiet.
Yeah.
But I know to this day that Terry called out to Jesus because he could never be so peaceful. His eyes shone when he died. It's like he wanted to tell me something, but he couldn't anymore. But I know this day he's with Jesus. And then Charlene, Lottie's know Charlene, had a friend who was dying at the same time, and she said to me, Joyce, would you go visit Dale? And I said, no, I don't know him. She said, please go visit Dale. A couple times I went to visit Dale. I didn't have a clue what to say to this man because I didn't know him. And I'd say the stupidest things to him, like, hey, Dale, you ready to go dancing? Or, hey, Dale, how's the... I said the dumbest things to this man. Anyways, I was going in to see Arlene when she broke both of her feet. And God said to me, go see Dale. And I said, Lord, you know that Dale is dying and his family's been brought in. I'm not his family, Lord. He said, go see Dale. I said, okay, I'll make a bargain with you. If his door is open, I'll go see. Guess what? His door was open. Mm-hmm. So I went in to see Dale, this man that I didn't know. And a lady was sitting there. So she said, oh, I have to go get a drink. I said, yeah, you do. So I spoke to Dale about Jesus. I was able to pray with him. And I said to him three times, now, Dale, you remember, you call out to Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. He did. I believe the next day he passed away. I believe Dale's in heaven, and I will see him there.
Amen. We've got time for a couple more.
Okay. One way I see Jesus alive is... at work, I try not to get too preachy with the guys at work, but I usually share my experiences, which usually that's what's going on in my life. And the way I see him alive is I had one guy, his son left home, and like we're not friends outside of work, but they come to me and, hey, I need to talk to you about something, right? And then I'll ask, can I pray for you? Yeah, okay. And there are these people not Christians, and they accept prayer. Then you see it rolled away like a barrier between us, or they can come talk to me. They'll send me a thing later saying, thanks for praying for me and talking to me and listening to me. I don't really have no one that will do it. I had another guy just 3 days ago, same thing, his wife is leaving.
Mm.
Not like I'm a counselor or nothing, but he comes to me, I just kind of share some of my experiences. And I don't know if you go to church or not, but
you know, that's what God does. He equips you.
And I'm not an expert, but
no, he's
this is what he did for me, right?
Amen.
And they listen to it, and then I know the stone's removed away a bit because I get a text later, thanks, right?
Yep. So thank you, God.
And that's showing he's alive.
I see God's work every day. I know he's there every day. I wouldn't be here today, probably. Good notion that I wouldn't be, but I had a lot of issues in my life that took me down a dark road for, it was a long enough time.
Hmm.
And, I see his work right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm here, I'm clean.
That's good.
And I'm sober.
Hallelujah. Yeah, he's alive. Right? He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
And it gives me the strength to be the person that I want to be and not want to be anymore. And I'm proud of it.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I'm going to give Sam, you get the last word today, okay?
So 8 years ago, Pastor Stan married Jason and I this weekend. So that has been definitely where we've seen God is through our marriage, through our children. Both our special needs, and just this last week, my father-in-law just made me realize how much God has really caused my children to grow and mature, and he's healing them. So that's amazing as well.
Can we say amen? Okay. So, and the point is this, just in case you missed it. Jesus, right now, is walking among us. Right now, he's saying to each of us, he's saying, it is I, myself. You see? It's me. And I'm showing myself to you. Because as we speak the testimony, as we share what God's done, as we tell the story of our lives, Jesus is revealed. In Revelation, it says that we overcome the enemy. Maybe today you're wondering how you're going to do that. Maybe you're fighting something, you're fighting an enemy, you're fighting an addiction or something just really, really difficult. In Revelation 12, it says, we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Did you hear that? The word of our testimony. This is not just some useless exercise that we do. There's power in this. We speak it out loud, we share it with each other, we encourage each other, and we squish that enemy under our feet when we do so. Amen? I'm going to pray. I'm just going to ask some of the other ones to come on up. We're going to sing a song together as we conclude today. But Jesus, we invite you to just walk among us. We believe that you are the risen Lord. We believe that there is resurrection power, that it's strong enough for whatever it is we're dealing with, that you love us. Lord, right now, just whisper that in each of our ears, that you, I love you. Just want to hear that. I love you. You are my daughter, and you're my son. You're precious to me. I love you. And I want to save you. I want to forgive you. I want to set your life back on a rock, because right now your life has been in a pit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness that we've been singing about. And that we can remember today and proclaim it loudly that you are alive and that there are many Jesus sightings among us. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise.